Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Keiser, hanging out with you as things about an hour away from getting underway here at Bridgestone Arena. We are live on the floor at Bridgestone Arena, staring at the stage. They got Fang Vision down with a backdrop, which is pretty cool, as Barry Trotz, David Poile will address everyone coming up an hour from now. Sean Henry, the president and CEO, will be a part of that as well. And we're going to talk to everybody involved today, including the former governor of the state of Tennessee, Bill Haslam. He's going to join the show right after the press conference, now part of the ownership group. So we look forward to talking to him. Barry Trotz will join the show. David Poile will join the show. Sean Henry as well. A monumental day. And that includes Caroline Willie and D-Mace, I should say. Kind of an extension of everything.
They're getting booted.
No, I mean, we're all tag teaming this today. So
the show will be hosted by Barry.
You will be, yes. I'll just be like, Coach, take it away.
Take it away. One question, go for it.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And Michelle, you'll be running around and doing things too. So it's a fun day. And you know, I couldn't sleep last night because I was excited. Like yesterday was such a whirlwind because working through all of this, and then I had to do the game last night, which the Predators won, by the way, 6-2 over the Arizona Coyotes. And so I'm kind of laying in bed last night trying to decompress, and it's just I started my – really one of the first big events that I covered was Barry Trotz's press conference saying goodbye when he was leaving.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I remember – and here's how long ago this was. So where the old media room was is now the Lexus Lounge.
Oh, okay.
So we were standing in what is now the Lexus Lounge. I'm in the back of the room. We have everything wired up for this. I'm standing with Jeremy Benefield, my boss at the time. Willie is down there, Darren, George. And it's like, you know, I'm still the new guy, but I knew Barry. I went to high school with his kids and got to know him at the start of my career. And so, like, I'm standing there watching this monumental moment with him and David Poile, and it's like, what's next? And you know, immediately the Peter Laviolette rumor started.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so a few months later, Laviolette's hired. I actually did the first interview with him on the radio station, which was pretty cool. And now to kind of come full circle to see this, you know, again is really, really neat because I just think it's the perfect way to write a script that David turns it over to the guy that he entrusted to help him build this from the beginning and now take it into the next era. But, you know, and I've talked to a couple of former players that, and they all say the same thing. So happy for David Poile. I wish we could have won him a cup. Like that's the kind of respect that they have for him. And I just think that's really, really cool.
Well, and the fact that David gets to go out this way, right, Chase? He gets to work with and help the transition with Barry. And, you know, I think Tom Callahan kind of illustrated it perfectly. He said it's such a positive David Poile kind of – it's not like he's just going to be gone. He's going to help Barry with the transition, you know, as we're finishing up the trade deadline here. Then you move into free agency. Then you move into the NHL draft. And then he's going to be an advisor on the board still. So he is going to set him up for success as he's moving into this position. It's not going to be like, okay, yep, my job's done, hands up, you know, here you go, good luck with everything. It is going to be, you know, a transition. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to speak for David Poile, but I'm sure that picking him to take over as general manager means a lot to him because he knows, Barry knows what it was like when they first started here in Nashville, and they knew what it was like to build a program like this. And he knows that handing it over to him, it's in good hands.
And I'm excited to see the building process that, that Barry is going to go through because he's coached at every level. And I do think there's something to be said about a coach moving into that role, especially in hockey, that it's it's a pretty good transition, seamless transition. He speaks the language, and you see it more in the NHL. So I think he's going to be fine. But to your point, having a guy that has 40-something years of experience to go, David, what do you think about this?
Oh, my gosh, of course.
Is definitely a great thing. And, you know, Barry has the final say. I mean, you know, look, as somebody that transitioned into a leadership spot, I'm glad that I have people that I can go, what do you think? Ultimately, I'll make the decision. But, you know, it's good to have people to lean on, and he's going to have just that.
100%, Chase. And, you know, we don't see very often – because we were trying to think this morning with Robbie and Adam Vingan of who has been a really successful coach who has transitioned into the general manager role. It's not very often at all. And I was trying to think of, in hockey in general, I know
Scotty Bowman would probably be the best one.
You know, I think with the Celtics, Brad Stevens, really successful coach for them for a long time, transitioned into a management role. But the knowledge that they have about, you know, the on the ice play, the players, and their ability then to know, to get down there and see what these guys are like and know what it's like from a coach's perspective, I think is really interesting as he moves into this role. And I think it's really beneficial too that he's been with a lot of successful organizations after he left the Predators, right? He wins a Stanley Cup with the Capitals. He was with the Islanders. He's had successful stints with other organizations, and it's not that the Predators is all he's known. He's stepped out and he's learned a lot from a lot of different successful people in this league outside of Nashville.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest part of all this is the, you know, the fact that he's able to come in with a fresh mind than what he had when he left. So I think it's good. Wes in Hermitage said, I think it's safe to say that the Preds move is one that involves collaboration from the staff, and I love it.
Collaboration
is the word of 2023.
Oh, 100%. And what are the odds, too? We're seeing the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville Predators kind of turn the page at the exact same time. Junie and I talked on Saturday how their successes and their championship windows were very much overlapping. Right. It was kind of 2017 to 2020 here, I guess you could say, 16 to 20 here for the Predators. And then the Tennessee Titans were about 18 to 2021. And now we're kind of seeing both franchises turn the page into the new era of leadership. And I just think it's kind of cool for the city. Right. You're going to get to see it. And with so many people moving to the city, too, who weren't here for the starts of these franchises, they're getting to see them kind of with the new era and like build them up again, Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So I think this is, and you're seeing it start right now, which is so much fun to kind of go through this process. Couple of texts. Unnamed texter, was bringing Foot back in a trade in preparation for trading a D-man, or was it a roster spot that needed to be moved? Jay from Clarksville. I wouldn't be surprised if Dante Fabro isn't moved before the deadline. I could see that with the direction that they're going. Foot is a really good young defenseman, former first-round pick. He's going to slide into a roster spot. But, you know, the one thing that I know Barry Trotz has probably noticed that he never had to deal with is they're pretty thin when it comes to defensive depth in this organization, and that was never an issue for them before. And this helps that by adding Adam Foot. I almost said Adam Foot, his son, Cal Foot, to the squad.
I'm sure they'd love to have Adam Foot on here in his glory days.
I'd love to have Adam Foot. Adam Foot was awesome. Was one of those true defensive defensemen with the Colorado Avalanche. Won a couple cups with them. So now you get his son, and his brother is in Jersey's organization, I think.
That would be correct.
Is that right? Okay. So, you know, the Foot kids, they get it on us. That is for sure.
I was going to just have a really bad dad joke and say they leave their footprint everywhere, but I stopped myself, but then I just said it anyway, and I'm cringing in my seat right now. Rex Road has rubbed off on me.
I am disappointed that you both weren't going to say it and that you actually did say it all at the same time. It's kind of the both of those things. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your calls, your texts throughout. Again, the press conference coming up at 11. They're testing everything. right now, and we will carry that for you. Also, Barry Trotz, David Poile, Sean Henry, and former Governor Bill Haslam, part of the ownership group, will join us on the shows as well. We're going to move this right into Caroline Willie and D-Mace. They'll be here. Willie's going to join us at the end of the hour to kind of get set up for the press conference. And I know he's got some Valley stuff that he has to handle, but all hands on deck for this one. And then Jared will have full reaction this afternoon as well, starting at 2 o'clock. But coming up next, let's dive in a little bit to the Titans. We haven't talked about them, what they need to accomplish this week for the combine, what we're expecting to hear from Rand Carthon. Then we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton at the bottom of the hour as well. It's Chase and Michelle live from Bridgestone Arena on the ice on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Learn more at hairclub.com/Chase. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvit with you. We're on the floor at Bridgestone Arena, about 45 minutes away from the press conference that will see David Poile make his retirement official and introduce Barry Trotz, the first head coach in team's history, as the second general manager in team's history. So looking forward to that because, wow, what a moment it is going to be for the Nashville Predators. But the Tennessee Titans have headed to Indianapolis this week for the NFL scouting combine. It's going to be the first combine for Rand Carthon, and he and Mike Vrabel will get to work together and talk to these potential prospects. And, look, this is an important draft for the Titans. We talk about the Predators and what they need to do in this draft, and they're acquiring a ton of draft picks. The Titans, it's just as important as they continue to move forward now in a new direction with Rand Carthon.
Chase, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Joe Rexroad's on his way up there, so he'll have some coverage. We'll get some sound from them up there. But, yeah, this is a really, really important draft for Rand Carthon. His first general manager job, a new general manager here of the Tennessee Titans with Mike Vrabel. We talked about, you know, who will have more say. Will it be Rand Carthon? Will it be Mike Vrabel? What will that dynamic look like when they're up in Indianapolis for the combine? But hitting on this draft and hitting on not only the first couple of rounds, but continuing to hit through those later rounds, which Rand was very successful with in San Francisco, that is so important right now because in the NFL, it doesn't take long to rebuild, but this team needs depth. So if you can hit on this draft, I do think that they're going to be a contender. Well, first off, I still think that they could win the AFC South because you almost won a game with Josh Dobbs as your quarterback against Trevor Lawrence. I know that they're going to have another year to get better, but if he hits on this draft and you're able to get some depth at specific positions and have a really good draft in your first year, it could set this team right back up to be in the conversation again for the AFC.
So I'm always curious of something when it comes to the underwear Olympics, that is the NFL Combine, which I'm kind of to the point, and I know some football people have said that maybe they should do away with it or do something different because the conditioning for it, Treylon Burks talked about this, the conditioning for the Combine is nothing like you will condition for for actual game days. You'll do it once in your life, and that is when you are coming out for the Combine. And so There's always a couple of guys that just their draft stock shoots way up because they show out at the combine. I have a feeling that I know one of them from the quarterback room.
Will Levis.
No.
Oh, Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson. I think everybody's going to leave Indianapolis with a huge man crush on Anthony Richardson because it's already starting. And I think they're going to be wrong. Now, what's interesting is it kind of happened with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has turned out to be pretty good, as we have seen recently. But I don't know about Anthony Richardson, but I feel like it's starting to turn that way.
But Jalen Hurts at least had substantial success in college. I mean, playing at the number one college program in the country at Alabama. Then he goes to Oklahoma, right? He was very successful. He was a Heisman winner. Whereas, you know, when you get to the combine, you have all those factors. But I know, Chase, I know you're right. I know everybody is going to fall in love with Anthony Richardson. But we need to remember what he showed on the field this year. And in some moments, great, incredible. I think about that Tennessee game, and I think of other games where it was just very, very mismanaged, bad throws, bad picks, bad everything.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like he was a college quarterback. So we're going to see his arm strength. We're going to see his athletic ability, which I'm sure he'll score great. And especially with all these GMs there, all these coaches there, I'm sure he's going to look like a great new shiny prize. But then you're going to go back and you're going to watch a little game film and you're going to think, oh, okay. Maybe a team who already has a quarterback and he's a project. He definitely is a project. He's not going to start next year. You don't want him to start next year. But it's going to be interesting because last year we didn't have quarterbacks like this. We had Kenny Pickett who was kind of top, but still had some question marks. Remember the small hands? Mm-hmm. That was a huge thing. And then Malik Willis had a couple bomb throws, and then he was talked about in the first round, but there was no true number one. Whereas this year, I do feel like we will get three quarterbacks to go in the first round, which wasn't the case last year.
So I pulled up a mock draft from CBS. Chris Trapasso, who does a really good job covering the draft, and he's put together, this came out an hour ago, a 2023 NFL two-round mock draft. And he has a couple of moves that set this up.
Oh, gosh.
So he goes, for this mock, I've set the quarterback scene as follows. Derek Carr signs with the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is traded to the New York Jets.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson gets traded to the Washington Commanders.
All righty.
Jimmy Garoppolo signs with the Las Vegas Raiders. That's how he set it up. Then.
Jimmy in Las Vegas might be a little dangerous.
I know. So then we have the first overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft, according to Chris Trapasso.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Indianapolis Colts have traded with the Chicago Bears.
Wah, wah.
And they select Anthony Richardson.
Oh, yay!
Quarterback, Florida.
I was just going through the progressions of a Titans fan when you just labeled those out. Oh, they get the number one?
If I'm a Titans fan and that turns out to be true, I'm going, okay, cool.
Oh, I am.
I'm fine with it.
I am calm, cool, and collected, sipping my tea if that happens.
Fine with it. Bryce Young goes second overall to Houston. That just feels – I feel like that's going to happen. Will Levis, your guy, fifth overall to Carolina.
Okay.
Quentin Johnson's the first wide receiver. He goes seventh overall to the Raiders. This is interesting. C.J. Stroud, eighth overall to the Giants.
See, I don't think the Giants are going to come to a deal with Daniel Jones.
I'm wondering on that. I think you could be right because they're far apart. And then at 11, the Titans select Paris Johnson Jr. From Ohio State. I am going to be hard-pressed to change my mind from that. I feel like that's going to be the pick if he's there. If he's not there, then I think they trade back.
Oh, if he is there, you 100% go and get him. I mean, we talked about, too, just kind of in this offseason on how when you look at the free agents of offensive linemen compared to wide receivers, the offensive linemen who are going to be available through free agency are going to be a lot better quality than some of the wide receivers. So I say you 100% draft a wide receiver at number 11. And if Paris is there, yes.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
I think it would be a home run pick.
If he's there, that's the big question.
There. And then you have that piece of your offensive line. You fill in the guards with a couple of veterans that you get off of free agency. Center, I think, is either going to be Ben Jones, Aaron Brewer, or Corey Levin. It'll be one of those three. And then Petit Frere stays at right tackle. But, you know, I would love – I've thrown it out there, and I've heard others throw it out there. I would love to see them bring Saffold back if they can get him back on a cheap deal at left guard or either one of the guard spots.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get him on a two-year,
$8 million
guaranteed,
like
four each year.
I mean, it might take a little more than that. Like I think he played at six this year. And so
he played at 6-2 this year, one year with Buffalo.
Yeah. So I mean, if you got him on the same deal that he was on with Buffalo, I'd take that
100%
in a heartbeat. Now, you know,
and he already knows the offense too, which is another plus.
Sure, he'd have to be willing to come back on that, but I certainly would sign up for that. And then your offensive line, while I wouldn't say it's fixed, it's certainly better than it was last year. And then you have a left tackle like you did with Taylor Lewan that you build around. Yeah.
And you start to develop, and you hope that Petit Frere takes another step. I mean, we saw some glimmers of hope from him, but he hit the rookie wall later in the year. But he had another big step. Then I think you're feeling good about your line. You get you get another electric wide receiver, and you let him and Treylon Burks develop together. I think you're feeling pretty good.
This is interesting, too, in Chris Trapasso's draft. He has Jalen Hyatt going 21st overall to the Chargers, so they just continue to load up at receiver with Jalen Hyatt. I do think he's going to be a first-round pick, so there's no doubt in my mind there.
This is really interesting. Our friend on Music City Bets tweeted at us and said, in about 2 weeks, Anthony Richardson has moved from plus 10,000 to plus 500 to go number one overall in the NFL draft.
Yeah. No, he's right. He and I talked about that this weekend. So
I really wish I put a little money on the plus.
He did.
Oh.
No doubt about it. Since this is a two-round mock, at pick 41, the Titans select Trenton Simpson, linebacker from Clemson. They do need to look at the linebacker position, especially up the middle. So that wouldn't shock me at all if they did that. But, it's an interesting – see, now we're officially mock draft season. I love looking at the mocks now.
I do, and I feel like I look at so many, and then I get so excited. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that guy would be awesome to have here. Like, we just talked about Paris Campbell, so now my head is going to be like, Paris Campbell, Paris Campbell, Paris Campbell. And I remember Robbie actually brought up Treylon Burks last year, and we thought, there's no way he gets him. And then draft day is always just so exciting, and I know that there's going to be so many trades because the Bears don't need a quarterback, and I truly believe they are going to – they're going to keep Justin Fields. I personally believe.
Yeah,
I know
they're going to keep Justin
some
Fields.
People think different, but it's going to be fun, Chase.
No doubt. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, our normal Monday conversation with him. We'll get into the Titans. We'll get into a little bit of the Preds as well with Jonathan. That's all next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you live on the ice at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators will introduce Barry Trotz as their new general manager in about 30 minutes. David Poile announcing his retirement. We'll carry it all here, but we say hello as we do every Monday at 10:30 to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. He's presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Hut, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Hutton.
Good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be back on with you. And, what a great career for David Poile. I can't wait to hear the presser with Barry Trotz. And, 26 seasons and certainly the Hall of Fame career, great guy as well. And I always enjoyed my conversations with him on the radio when we had the opportunity.
Yeah. What was kind of your initial reaction as somebody that you grew up here, you've been around since the beginning of the Predators to see the first head coach now become the second GM?
Yeah, it's a little strange, you know, like the scenario. So the entire time I was considering Poile's, you know, next step, I was thinking of, his son as the successor. At least that was the way, you know, I think my mind was framed maybe 8-10 years ago. And then you just, you know, Trotz with the Islanders, and then you start seeing Trotz hanging out randomly downtown, like on street corners. Like I've walked by and be like, oh, there's Barry Trotz after a breakfast or something. I'm like, what's he up to? It all makes sense. And here's why it's great for the franchise. He cares deeply about the Nashville Predators. You know, this is not – and no offense to Peter Laviolette, who has won a cup and has done some great things. Peter Laviolette was on to the next organization that would hire him. Mm-hmm. It's different with Trotz. And I think that's why I would say this is a no-brainer as far as a succession plan is concerned. Because while they're going to go in rebuild mode – you've got the guy who has been there and done that from the ground up in build mode. And that should be a positive, not a negative.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. So looking forward to it. Obviously, a lot going on in the sports world in Nashville, including the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis, Rand Carthon's first as a general manager of the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, I was saying this in the segment before that the Underwear Olympics, as it's jokingly called, you know, obviously you do learn some stuff. I think you learn more because you get the interaction with the player and the interview process, and that's important. But what do you think is on the checklist for Carthon and Mike Vrabel this week?
So where it does matter on the field is speed. They need to add speed. And this is where you have the clock for all of the players. They're all measured exactly the same way. It's not, you know, Jalin Hyatt, for instance, at the Super Bowl told Chad and I that he ran like a 4.27 at one point. Well, now he has a chance to go prove it and really climb draft boards. And I told Chris Johnson, CJ2K, about it, and he kind of smirked. He was like, there's only a few of us that can do that. And that's why speed matters here. And the other thing are the medicals. And I stress this not just because you get to learn about from your own team doctors, okay, here's where I'll use another Vol, Hendon Hooker. Big week for him in terms of the medicals because they're going to examine his knee and they're going to see where he is structurally and where the timetable should be versus what he's been saying, which is he's going to be ready for the season. I hope he is. I'm sure he believes that. I'm sure he's been told that. Teams will come to their own conclusion on that. But here's why it's important for Rand Carthon and the Tennessee Titans. They have been acquiring players with injury backgrounds for the last couple of seasons. That comes back to bite them. They signed Bud Dupree. He had the previous injury. Of course, we know through the draft what has happened with Caleb Farley, for instance. They need to be certain on players, if they're going through the medicals, that they're not acquiring someone that's going to be damaged goods. And I don't mean that in a negative way for the player, because the player can still be a first-round pick and be coming off an injury. But the Titans have been acquiring players that aren't seeing the field until it's far too late. And I think this week is important to just determine where guys are. Where guys maybe aren't, it may be more important for where this team needs to be.
We got Jonathan Hutton on with us of Outkick 360. Jonathan, Rand Carthon's first draft, first combine as a GM, heading up there with Mike Vrabel. How important is it for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to hit on this draft to stay competitive in the, I almost said the SEC, the AFC?
Yeah. Well, they may need some SEC players.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they'd love them.
That we, for whatever reason, and I don't think this is their plan or has been their plan, they slow play their rookie picks, especially the top guys. They're way too patient on these guys. Meanwhile, other organizations, if you look around, you're allowed to have a rookie come in and be a hit. A.J. Brown was that guy, his rookie season as a second-round pick. Point being, where they're selecting right now, they're not routinely selecting this high. They're selecting somewhere in the 20s because they've been much better than what they were a year ago. They need their rookie class, especially given the salary cap situation, which is real despite what people think. The cap does exist. It is real. There are ways to maneuver it and make yourself better in free agency. But the cheapest way, the affordable way, if you're up against that number, is to go about it through the draft and have your premier players, your first, second, third round picks, contribute in a bigger way than what we've seen from this team. Last year's draft class seems to be pretty good right now. But overall, collectively, over the last 4 or 5 years, they were maintaining success despite not getting much from their draft. And, you know, far too often I'd go into the draft season going, well, they've got a hit on it, but they didn't do it the last year, so then they still won. And that's not good enough. They have to figure out the elite talent, especially offensive line play. That is where they've got to hit in this draft, and they need to do it at multiple spots, not just at left tackle.
Taking a look at this quarterback class coming in through this draft, Hutton, we've got Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker we mentioned. How do you view these quarterbacks? And why do you think that Hendon Hooker, I know injured right now, and you mentioned his medicals, why do you think people have such a gap in between guys with big question marks such as Will Levis and Anthony Richardson?
Well, so let's start with Hendon Hooker on that. Like, I think the maybe not the consensus, but the perception is that he's a one-read type quarterback. Like, Heupel was in his headset saying, hey, go there with the football. And I don't think that was it at all. I think he was changing more at the line of scrimmage than what he gets credit for. I think he reads defenses better than what he gets credit for. And I think, honestly, Michelle, his time spent at the Senior Bowl is going to help him out in that perception, because – He was given the exception of allowed to go despite the injury, where normally Nagy doesn't allow that to go down at the Senior Bowl. He normally has you stay back at home. He liked what Hooker did throughout his season and earned it, and he said, let's get him down here. So from that end, I think teams were able to speak with him, all 32 if they wanted to. We know the Titans did, and you can put him on the board, but you can also see his leadership qualities on the practice field where he was standing and hanging out with players. I think that's big, especially for a guy like him who's coming into a locker room, most likely to be the backup after camp and with the chance to progress to the starter. The other guys, look, I think what we see on the field, there is a different level of what we've – just to our viewing audience – if you're watching college football, the best quarterbacks were Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Will Levis has all of the intangibles that you look for, the height, weight, speed, athleticism, big arm, but not consistent enough week after week for where Kentucky was 2 years ago to what they were this past season.
You're telling
and
me.
And Levis was a part of both. Yeah, and at that the consistent week in, week out mannerism of that, mechanics of that, I can't get past with Levis compared to the other two. And then Richardson, to me, is just a raw athletic talent. He's a freak. When you see his height, weight, speed, all of it, teams are going to fall in love with that. They're going to say, we can develop this. We can polish this into what's going to be a franchise quarterback. That's all fine. And by the way, I think Levis and Richardson are both first-round picks. I'm not docking them for not being number one overall. Mm-hmm. But the top player in the draft, top quarterback in the draft, the guy that I can say, hey, he's ready to go. Number one's going to start. Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence, they start right out of the chute. And there's a reason why there wasn't a quarterback number one overall last year. And they went with a pass rusher in Jacksonville. My point is, it's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. And then there's a gap, not a big gap. I think Levis is a top 10 pick. And this is a quarterback needy draft with some teams that are scrambling to find their guy. Richardson, too, he can jump ahead of Levis. Both guys are going to be talked about heavily this week compared to Bryce Young, who's probably going to be on the negative side of things whenever he actually measures in with his official height.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. With the Titans picking at 11, and I said that I believe the pick right now is Paris Johnson. If he's there. If he's not there, I would move back. What do you think the odds are of Rand Carthon moving out of 11 to try and get more draft capital?
I mean, I'm all for that based on where the team is and where their needs are. But, Chase, honestly, I have no clue what he's going to do.
I know.
We don't know. And I think that's part of the fun in this is we don't have the trends to go by. The one trend we have is Vrabel. And, you know, Vrabel's been a part of these drafts with Robinson. And now we get to see him paired with Carthon. And, look, offensive tackle's a big need. Mm-hmm. You trade back. Where does this group bunt? Where's the run happen on the offensive line in the first round to get your premier elite talents? That needs to be the focus if you're trading back. And look, I think if you're trading back, you're getting some type of haul because of the 11th pick and the fact that you could have a Levis-type quarterback there. You could also have the top wide receiver in the draft. Let's not forget that. Johnston could be there at that point. So there are a lot of questions with the scenario I would need to know before I would say, yeah, trade back, gain picks. And look, let's also consider this because, again, I think everything's on the table. If you bring back Ryan Tannehill, it is a short-term plan. If the right quarterback is there at 11, pull the trigger and draft him. The Kansas City Chiefs moved up and drafted Patrick Mahomes when they had Alex Smith. Kansas City was a good regular season team at that time. They were coming off 12 wins in 2016, and Andy Reid still moved up and drafted Mahomes. Who was a 500 quarterback in college, and everyone was going, what's Kansas City doing? They're drafting a backup for Alex Smith, and they've been really good. Well, you have to realize where you are and where you're going, and if the right QB is there, you take him, and if he needs to sit behind Tannehill, so be it. If he doesn't, he doesn't, but it's a short-term solution with Tannehill if he's back, and it's all about the franchise QB moving forward, and, I mean, let's also say a rookie – quarterback, and then that you have the quarterback under his rookie contract, his first contract, that's when you can really cash in on the players around him as the salary cap continues to go up.
Well, it all begins with the combine this week, and Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. I know they're going to speak to the media sometime tomorrow, but looking forward to that. Hutt, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Hutton.
Sounds good, guys. By the way, I love the setup today. I'll be listening.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, right on the ice here at Bridgestone Arena.
The lighting is amazing.
Oh, it's perfect. Jonathan Hutton joins us every Monday at 10:30, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. We will set the scene for you about 15 minutes away from the press conference. I think Willie D might even join us for a few minutes as well here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Willie Donick has joined us as well as people are filing in for the press conference coming up at 11. David Poile announcing his retirement. Barry Trotz returning to the organization as the general manager. And Willie, it's been quite the weekend when it comes to the Nashville Predators. Couple of trades and obviously this news.
Well, it was really interesting from the perspective of just being out there with the team in Arizona, because, you know, the team, you know, it was not a pretty win against the Canucks on Tuesday, but they won. And then they take care of business against the Sharks and look pretty good in doing so. And then you're sitting there at a spring training game, which, by the way, was an amazing crowd, a record-setting crowd for a spring training game, 16,000. And you start getting texts, Neil Niederreiter's been traded. Whoa. So that was really a shot that was a little bit unexpected at the time. But you kind of knew that they were fielding a lot of phone calls, so they make the deal. And then what happened yesterday, you know, you saw it from the team, an emotional, you know, that was a tough thing to handle. But it was kind of a message to the team. Look, what you guys have done has not been good enough.
Yeah.
So we've got to do some things here. But to their credit, the team got up off the mat, got ready to play, and then they find out right before the game that Tanner Jeannot is about to be traded. They hold him out, so you're playing with 10 forwards against a team that's been playing some pretty good hockey in the Coyotes, especially in that building. They have a winning record in that building. It's a really strange, unique atmosphere. It's pretty cool.
What was it like?
It's brand new. It's really well-built, first class for the level that it's supposed to be,
yeah,
the college thing. I mean, it doesn't look like an NHL building at all, but it is unique. And it was pretty much full. It was really loud. And I can see why that's been kind of a little bit of a house of horrors. They've beaten Toronto, Boston. You go down the list, Tampa Bay. They've beaten a ton of teams that have come out there. But Nashville throttled them, even in the emotional state that they're in. I thought that was a really professional job by Roman Josi, the coaching staff, veteran leaders who probably had to take it the worst, you know, to see that. You know, so I give them a lot of credit. And you know what? As crazy as it sounds, like I don't know what they're going to do from here. There may be some more moves coming. But take a look at their schedule over the next couple weeks. It's a very winnable games. Seattle, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but it'll be interesting to see what it will take for that last wild card spot. I don't think you got to go 25-0 to get there. So it's going to be something to gauge, but you know, I think this move that we're seeing today signals you have to look at the big picture as well as the current picture. And you know, if you're balancing both, that's really what your job is.
So here's what I want to know, because the return that they got for Tanner Jeannot is obviously a lot, like six assets for, I mean, let's be honest, a guy that was undrafted. I mean, it's a heck of a return. So with Barry Trotz being in this advisory role now for David Poile in the transition, is David on the phone and he's like working this out? And Barry's like, "Hey, get one more draft pick. Hey, see if you get one more out of him." Like,
you know, I think we may find out honestly what Barry's role has been behind the scenes as they've been building up to this. Obviously, to put the floor together and things like this is not a decision that was just made at 3 o'clock.
No, I don't think David woke up yesterday and said, "Hey, I'm going to retire."
I think there's been plenty of discussions behind the scenes about, you know, what this could be like, and so I'm curious to see, you know, what the messaging is today by both of them. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, Barry Trotz, you know, Chase, we go way, way back with him. He is just a guy that you want in your in your hut. You know, he's a family guy. You know, he's just such a great hockey person. So I think that's going to be a big positive thing. But to put the Tanner Janot thing in perspective, to me, even if you were sitting there in the playoffs, right, let's say you were in eighth place or the second wild card position, that's still a deal that I just don't think you can turn down.
Sure.
Right? I mean, let's put it this way. Cap Friendly put this out. When you sign a guy to an offer sheet and you offer him between $6.3 and $8.4 million, the compensation is a first, second, and a third. And as you mentioned, Tanner Janot is a great player. Listen, he was – I got back from on the flight last night. It was about 1 o'clock. Tanner Janot was at the airport, and every single guy – I mean, it was 1:30 in the morning, right? People want to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Every single guy stood in line to hug him and wish him well. I mean, it was really emotional. You don't understand the value of a guy like that beyond the goals and assists. But I understand, like, from the analytical perspective, people are looking at his numbers and they're saying, wow, well, why would you give up so much to get a guy like that? Well, he goes way beyond the stats. But still, if you offer an offer sheet to a player that's making between 6.3 and 8.4, you get a first, a second, a third. The Predators got that plus a fourth and a fifth and a defenseman that needs a fresh start that could be serviceable. Cal Foote is a former first-round pick, used to be a pretty high-level prospect. He has not really blossomed in Tampa. But who knows? He could be useful
here. I like it, though. I like the move. I do think there's an upside.
There's nothing to lose from trying Cal Foote in a new spot to see how he looks. So that's an enormous haul, the point is. I mean, you can't turn that down, as special as Janot is. I think even if you were in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and he's a young guy, too. And you know, you talk about the team and everything like that, all the moves, Willie. And of course, this big bombshell that dropped yesterday. You covered the Preds since pretty much day one here. Chase has talked about Barry Trotz. And how beneficial do you think it is that David is handing off the baton, right? He's with him right now through the trade deadline, and then he's going to be with him right up until the NHL draft as he hands the reins over. And now Barry Trotz will be the first ever head coach and then the second ever GM in Preds history.
Yeah, it's really interesting. This is how far back I go. I was at the press conference to announce. We just saw Jack Diller come in, the president.
Yeah.
He was the guy that hired David Poile. So I was at Jack's press conference to bring in David Poile. This was 1997, I think. Yep. And then a few months after
July 9th.
I was at the press conference when they introduced Barry Trotz.
That's wild.
It's pretty crazy to think that here we are sitting today. And I think it's really cool that the two of them are going to work together. I'm curious how the role is going to go, because Barry Trotz is going to want to put his stamp on there. He's gone other places and succeeded, which I think is really valuable, valuable experience to see how other teams do it besides the Predators. I think new ideas will be important going forward. And at the same time, he's never been a GM before. So I think being able to lean on David Poile and a lot of the staff, you think about Jeff Kilty. He was a player on the very first Predators training camp, right? He didn't make the team. He got a concussion. It sort of ended his career and sent him on the path where he is now, an assistant GM. But he goes way back with Barry Trotz. Scott Nichol, a very trusted player for Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
So he already has a built-in relationship with a lot of the people he's coming in to work with. So I think that will ease the transition.
Well, Willie, I know you have duties. We all are anxiously awaiting. People are
packed
flooding,
house.
Flooding in right now.
Yeah, people
getting
are
ready
flooding
for this. John
absolutely.
Hines is here. The coaching staff
Hal
is here.
Hal Gill is here.
Hal Gill is here, looking just absolutely beautiful. Caroline Fenton is here.
Hal looks pretty sharp for getting it at 1:30 in the morning. I got to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah,
looks
well,
sharp.
You know, he's he's a pro.
He says, where am I?
He's a pro. So we'll have much more coming. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is coming up next. We will be right back with that and also the press conference. David Poile retiring, Barry Trotz being introduced as the next general manager of the Nashville Predators. That's all next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.